This is Pirate Polyethylene.
And Pirate Maddie.
And we are here with I'm a Robot.
Hello, this is Alex.
Hi, this is Philip.
And we are I'm a Robot.
You guys have a really great live show. It's full of energy, excitement, and contains a really personal dynamic. I was wondering, what do you think is your biggest asset as a live band?
I don't know. Maybe Philip would answer that better.
I think the biggest asset is just what you just said, wasn't it? It's
like, yeah, the energy and the personal content.
Yeah.
I think you guys relate to the fans really well when you're playing. It's definitely something I really enjoy.
Yeah.
Do you guys enjoy record signings? Do you think it's cool to like, hang with your fans and...
I do, actually, you know. I don't love playing in stores. Like, there's something slightly strange about it to me, but I do like hanging with fans, definitely. It's such a bad word, really, fans, to me, because it's, like, it's just fun to hang out with these people that enjoy, like, listening to your music, you know. Calling them fans sort of sets up this, like, them and us sort of thing. But, yeah, it's really cool.
It is cool. The only thing... I think it's weird is signing autographs. I don't really understand the concept of it, but...
Yeah.
It's kind of weird that people, you know... But it's good. They appreciate it, and that's what it's about, but I don't understand it myself.
I think it's just to be like, I was there. Yeah. You know what I mean? I was there. I met them. You know, I could imagine that if, you know, after, you know, a long time of really just getting bombarded with being with signing things, that it could get really annoying. But at the moment, it's not yet. Yeah.
You guys are located in the LA area. Do you think LA creates a good dynamic for music and art? And if so, how?
Yeah, definitely. I think LA is probably the most sort of free, individualistic city that I've been to actually so far in the world. It's very unregimented. It's very all over the place. Just geographically, the way it's laid out is all over the place. There's a lot of room for individuality, and you can get away with anything. It's very sort of uncensored over there, and I think that lends itself to, like, you know, the freedom we have and the choices that we make. You know.
Do you say freedom?
They hate us for our freedom.
Yeah.
At one point, you were commonly thought of as the band that had members in it who once played with Beck. Was this a good thing or a bad thing?
I mean, it was good and bad. You know, it's like, that's not, like, people decided to say that it was a side project of these guys that had been in Beck, when really it was like me and Timmy had been in, had started the band years before that. So in that sense, it was like, you know, it gave the wrong impression, really. But having them in the band was amazing because they were, you know, amazing. So, you know, it was good and bad. Yeah.
This question's for Alex. I understand that you've done some work in the fine art field. Could you detail that for us a little bit? Talk about your experience?
Yeah, sure. Painting and various sort of, like, mixed media things I've always been into. And then I got sort of really into... Oh, that's awesome. A little kid is being dragged by his dog on a skateboard. I got really into performance art, which I've only done maybe three, but they're really exhausting and sort of really intense, so it's actually a lot. But to me, they're like really, they've really lent themselves, like those experiences have lent themselves to my performances on stage now. And those experiences of those kind of performance art things are really like pure... really pure art to me, you know, whatever that fucking word means. I don't really know what the word art means, but it's that pure performance. It's really solid, and I get a real sort of satisfaction out of that, and I try and incorporate that, a lot of that, onto stage. And for instance, the show we had last night, or even today, like running across the street on the train tracks or whatever it is, I'm starting to get the same.
Our skateboard friend returned.
I'm starting to get the same satisfaction from the live shows as I do from performance art, you know. Yeah.
Do you guys prefer 21 and up shows or all ages?
All ages.
Definitely.
21 and up shows suck, man.
I know.
Yeah, exactly. I know that was definitely hard because I found you guys when I was a younger fan, and I'm 20 over 21 now, but it was definitely hard when you, it's, I know that I talked to, like, when you had Justin in the band, and even you, Alex, about the fact that it's hard sometimes to get into those all-ages venue, even though you guys prefer that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know that, like, pretty much I think each member in the band has side projects and a lot of other things they're involved in. Would you like to, like, give some details on some of those things for everybody?
Yeah, sure. I got a few different sort of musical things. They're both two things, and they're both sort of me. I'm also out producing this girl Jade a little bit. Then a lot of writing, just writing. Like, I have a novel I'm, like, trying to finish, and I shot a movie, actually, like a feature feature-length movie that I'm editing right now. That is basically almost done. Yeah, I'm excited about that. Tons of other things, you know, and then, like, and then Philip can say what he's doing. Everyone has side stuff, but like,
Timmy and me have some dancey stuff coming out. We are called the Hammers, but Timmy's been busy with so many. He's producing, like, a guy called Ricardo, Afrobots, and some country guy, or, like, some folk guy.
Yeah.
So he's been busy, so we haven't worked on that. So I started a new side project called Guns and Bombs.
Right.
And we actually just got signed yesterday.
Did you? To who? Yeah.
Kitsune.
What's that?
French label.
Oh, nice.
And then there's Turbo Tito. That's me, too. Right. That's, like, my whatever remix name or whatever.
And then Jesus Crossed.
Jesus Crossed is Jesus my Crossed. Dub band.
Is it the electro dub band?
Really and dope. Then there is RSVP. Which isn't launched yet, but it's gonna be great.
The thing about us is, like, all of us, we're like, you know, I don't understand bands that, like, they only write 12 songs a year, they put those out and they're good. It's like, we had over 100 songs to choose from for this record. Like, we don't stop writing music, you know, we don't stop creating things and making stuff and arranging things, you know, which is really art. You know, it's just like, we just don't stop. We like doing it. That's what we do.
Won't stop, don't stop.
Yeah, can't stop, won't stop.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Do you have a favorite city to play at?
A favorite CD to play?
City. Maybe a venue?
I think it might be LA. I think. What do you think?
I don't know, I want to play Roskilde Festival in Denmark.
Yeah.
Because I'm Danish and that's the best festival in the world. So I'll hook that up. Hopefully.
And you guys have lots of dedicated and very creative fans. Could you give us some details on some of your favorite things they have done or created for you guys?
Let's see. Stelly and Kendo, do you know them at all?
Yeah.
They painted their, like, brown, like, Datsun with on the hood, a gigantic pink robot symbol on the hood, like, over the whole thing. That was pretty fresh. There's this dude, what's his name? I can't remember his name right now.
Is it Marvin?
Marvin. Mm-hmm. Marvin has made us, like, all these sort of animated t-shirts of ourselves, sort of in a weird, almost sort of Scooby-Doo character-looking stuff, and given us all shirts like that. You know, there's a lot, like, friends of ours have made their own ringtones.
There is also a fun thing, I think. I'm like, YouTubing a lot, so I have, like, a profile. I'm collecting all the weird little videos that people make, like, dancing to our songs and stuff like that.
There's some great videos that some kids are making, like, just two, you know, four hours.
Go on YouTube and search for Turbo Tito as a profile, and I have a little
robot
collection.
Oh, nice.
If you could be any animal, what would you be?
A zebra right now. But zebras get killed. I don't know why I'm saying that. It's just something about the colors, you know?
Dolphin.
Oh, okay.
So free.
So free and so smart.
So playful.
All right, do you guys have a certain message that you would, like, you try to convey to your fans through your music? I know that most musicians, and I'm sure you guys too, have tons of messages, but is there something that you really like to convey to your fans?
For me, the main thing is, like, to, I like, I don't like confinement, you know, and so it's to me, I really enjoy like sort of pushing that and encouraging other people to free themselves up a bit, and so in order to do that, sometimes you gotta like, well, I feel like I need to you know, push boundaries a bit, you know, and you know, I don't know, make it okay, you know, but I don't know, man, just like sort of an authenticity, some sort of more instinctual living, less sort of fearful stuff, you know, more edgy, slightly more dangerous, all that kind of stuff. I don't know. I don't know what the message is. It's funny, man. I'm beginning to see people get a message. I'm beginning to see it on their face. Like, I'm beginning to see, I feel like, unless I'm hallucinating, I think I'm seeing people actually slightly changing or something coming over their face, like, oh, yeah. Like, not just into the music, but like, yeah, right. Like, and then actually, you can see their body language changing. Like this show we played last night, it's a lot of how the show goes is based strictly on how we come out on stage. Like, if we come out and we're all stiff or whatever, or like, but if we come out and we like, and I just let loose, the whole crowd is loose all of a sudden, and it's just ready, like last night, you know what I mean? It's just ready to go. So I don't know if that's the message, but that's sort of the goal.
Any pet peeves?
Just chewing with your mouth open, smacking with your food, like, near me.
Wait, is it pet peeve?
It's like something that's annoying, like a little thing that you just can't stand. Yeah, Philip has tons. Oh, talk about eating with your... Philip has such a phobia of people smacking their mouth when they're eating that he, when he was a kid, made his parents turn on loud music whenever they had dinner. Right?
Yeah, mostly, yeah. And now when I visit my family, they do it without... I don't even have to ask anyone.
They just turn on loud music.
Suddenly music when we're about to eat.
Yeah, that can bother. Actually, it's not smacking. I don't care. It's when you start breathing through your nose. Oh, do you know what I'm talking about when you're eating?
Yes.
And it's like it gets to me.
Mine is more complex. It's like all sounds, all man-made sounds that don't have a purpose. I get bummed out. Anything.
So, Alex, yes. I know that you got some nice tattoos here. Yeah. I think you didn't have them. I think they're relatively new within the last couple years. Any inspiration for those?
Actually, let's see. This one was a long time ago.
Describe it. These, for the radio.
Okay, sorry.
Podcast.
One. Yeah, the first tattoo I got was originally I had a this girl gave me a black rubber band, and I would keep it up on my forearm and roll it up. And then one day I lost it, and I had really liked it. And then the night of the day that I lost it, a friend told me to go get it tattooed, so it was always there. And he sort of dared me, so I went and got it tattooed. And so it was just a line around my forearm, a single line. And then it sort of came to mean, like, you know, sort of the straight and narrow. So I balanced it out with a crooked road on the other side, crooked line around my forearm.
Yeah.
Then... maybe 4 years ago, four years ago, something like that, I was sitting in my room. It was like 6 a.m, and I, for no real reason, other than for some reason I was wanted to, but I burnt in the shape of a heart with cigarettes. I took 6 different cigarettes and burnt the shape of the heart, and then after it healed a bit, I got the heart outlined. It wasn't for anyone in particular. It was sort of love in general, I guess. I don't know. And then in the inside, I got an equal sign. There's one other person, my ex-girlfriend, who has an equal sign. I'm really into mathematics, and also it was like, you know, being equal, equality, all that kind of stuff with someone else. And yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Star Trek or Star Wars?
Trek.
I don't want to answer that.
Okay.
American weird stuff. Fiction.
I
probably Star Trek, though.
Star Trek's more fun, it's more kitschy, there's more, like, sort of, you know, it's more low budget. I like it.
Star Wars should have stopped earlier.
Yeah.
Now, if Star Wars
hadn't have made the last 3 movies, I might have said Star Wars.
Yeah,
Luke
exactly.
Fucking George Lucas.
Exactly.
So I think you guys are definitely, I think it's probably a matter of just pushing the boundaries, but kind of fashion conscious. Do you actually forwardly think about being fashion conscious, or is it just something that just kind of comes along?
It comes along, and then I sort of like, generally what happens to me is I do something and then I realize what it means. And I realize what the repercussions will be, or, you know, what people will think or whatever. So, like, for instance, these pants that I've been wearing lately, these, like, sort of MC Hammer-ish, and not these, but these sort of, like, Arabian Aladdin pants that sort of reminiscent of the Hammer pants.
The album cover.
The ones that are on the album cover.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah. Those came to me via Morocco from, like, this guy. And I just thought they were, like, awesome. And I started wearing them, and then, like, I just realized that's, like, they just were good to move in, and then and then the MC Hammer thing, and then it, you know, things just fall into place, you know, but I am aware of the context, and, like, oh, well, people like it, or they'll talk about it at least, or whatever, you know, they'll think it's funny, or they'll think it's stupid, or it doesn't really matter what they think, yeah, I mean, you know, it was, like, my haircut last time, like, everyone was, like, talking about, like, oh, the, you know, the mullet with the line through it. It was like every press release. It was like, you know, we got so much mileage from little silly things like that, that, you know, I am aware, like, I am aware of that, you know. Generally speaking, I just, like, I don't like things that are too crispy clean. That's basically my one thing. I don't like clean clothes, you know. Like, they don't have to be dirty, but used. Mm-hmm. Like, break them in a little bit, you know, and then I like them.
So for Philip, I understand that you came in and joined the band later on. Was that transition really easy, or was it a little difficult? I'm sure the band welcomed you, but, like, how did you find that transition to be?
I actually found it, like, people-wise, it was super easy. I liked everybody, you know, because the band I came from, the chemistry was not 100%, so, like, it took like 10 seconds to get really comfy with everybody in I'm a Robot. So, I started out playing keys, and it was pretty tough for me because I came from playing bass in another band. Mm-hmm. And then when Justin left, we decided to put me on bass, which was extremely challenging. It was like,
yeah.
And like, I'm so happy I did it, because it like, the last year has been so, like, I had to push myself so hard to be able to play, because Justin is insane. He's really, really good. And he made all the bass lines on the first album, and some of them are really hard to play. So that was a big challenge. I liked it. I didn't think I would be able to do it in the beginning, but I'm happy that I tried.
So you guys have a new album that's coming out. Is it released?
It was out yesterday, September 12th.
Yes.
I think this latest album of I'm a Robot's a Monument to the Masses, our latest record, a second record on Virgin, it's sort of a melodic, sort of, you know, danceable, punky, poppy.
Also, it's also indicated by the title, and it's like, yeah. Monument to the Masses. It's definitely more digestible,
yeah,
for the masses, but hopefully it still has some edge inside of, you know, the more sleek,
yeah,
sound.
A lot of times bands are put into categories, and most of the time they don't pick them as far as genres and labels. And I find your band definitely something that you cannot put into one genre. If you could sum up a genre-like, or maybe associations to certain genres, how would you define your band?
I used to know. Like, I thought the first record was bubble punk. But I don't know.
Here's a story for the kids!
All right, thank you very much.